The Heart of Worship from Matt Redman's 1999 album of the same name. Awesome, awesome track. I remember being in the praise band in college at the Baptist Student Union, and this was a go-to on almost a weekly basis. Spent a lot of time playing this song and thinking about the words to this song and what Matt Redman was actually getting at by us worshiping with not only praise and music and instruments, but also with our lives and the way we live them. In this episode, we get to talk with Chris Dobie from the Not Your Typical Christian channel on YouTube and some other Facebook groups that he has. This one was a lot of fun, folks. Buckle up, stay tuned. We're ready to rock.
Welcome to the Song and Verse Podcast, a discovery of God's Word, one song and a few verses at a time. Here's your host, Rockin' Odd Todd.
Hello and welcome to the Song and Verse Podcast, a discovery of God's Word through song and verse. I am your host, Rockin' Odd Todd, and we're so happy you've decided to join us today. You know, when I spent my time in college, I played in the praise band for a good 3 years at the Baptist Student Union and made a lot of great friends. One of my best friends in life that I try to hook up with on an annual basis played in the praise band with me, Mr. Josh Metzger. And it's really cool to see how our families have been able to kind of grow a little bit together and our kids interact and things of that nature. But I'll never forget during that time period, the song Heart of Worship that came around and really, really pushed the envelope about what we were doing. Because, you know, personally, with a guitar in my hand, that is when I've always felt as if I am worshiping the Lord best. Sort of like, you know, in the Old Testament when you would see some musicians taking the harp and lyre and things of that nature and playing for God and worshiping God. I feel the same way when there's a guitar in my hand, and but it turns into almost a concert-like atmosphere sometimes when it comes to worship, and it's more of a show, so to speak. And I think Matt Redman did a great job of bringing that back and just saying, look, the heart of worship is Christ. It's all about Him, and it's all about applying His word, His will and His love into our own lives, and that's the truest form of worship is us to live that out. We don't talk a whole lot about that in this episode, but it does come up and it is relevant. But what was so cool about this, and what's been so cool about this journey, quite honestly, is the people that the Lord has networked us with and really, really brought to the forefront, so to speak. And to be able to talk with somebody from across the pond over in the UK was such a magnificent conversation, because you hear a completely different aspect about what they go through, what faith looks like, and just how culture is a little bit different there. And it was really great getting to talk with Chris from the Not Your Typical Christian channel on the YouTube, where he does a lot of shows talking about a lot of different topics. And we were just really blessed by our time with him and honored that we were able to have this conversation and talk a little bit more about what faith looks like in different areas, but how it's constantly the same with the cornerstone of Christ at the heart of it all. And so I hope you enjoy this discussion with Chris as much as I did. And with that, today we have with us Chris from the Not Your Typical Christian show, and also has some Facebook pages and groups that we can look at as well. And we'll have that all in the description. How's it going today, Chris?
Yeah, really, really good. Thanks a lot for having me on the show today. It's awesome.
Dude, it is so awesome. You know, I don't think I ever caught where exactly you're from, because I love the accent.
I'm from a tiny little town about 20 miles south of Sheffield in the UK. So it's called Chesterfield. And if anybody looks it up, we're famous for having a spire on our church in the middle of town. Uh-huh. It's got a crooked spire.
Yeah, wow. So now, yeah. Now, when you say town, is that like one of those little villages right there by the water and stuff like you'd see on like Doc Martin or something like that?
You know, ever seen that show? It's pretty much where I live. It's not like that, but we're not far away from that exact type area. There's a place like a rural area just about 2 miles away where we take the dog walks. It's beautiful up there. We're in a little mining village, so
nice.
It's, well, it used to be mining until the 80s.
That whole thing reminds me of like the Lord of the Rings for some reason with all that landscape and stuff, you know.
It's like our country. It's all like lots of green and rain. That's what our country is like.
Nice.
Just like Lord of the Rings.
It's so beautiful, so awesome. So what I want you to do, Chris, tell us a little bit about how Not Your Typical Christian came about. And really, you know, you have a pretty phenomenal story with the biochemistry and, you know, all these other things in your past. I think you even said something about studying evolution and having to read Richard Dawkins book or something of that nature. But you still come out of that, you know, being able to become part of the faith. And that's a pretty crazy story nowadays, because I think you were saying that it's like automatically the world just believes that you shouldn't believe and there's no reason why you shouldn't. So let's hear a little bit more about that. It's a great narrative, man.
Well, the show you're referring to there, I just kind of came out and just laid out the whole story, and it's so long. I mean, I'm in my early 40s now, and the journey of faith took 37 years. Do you know what I mean? So I'll have to give like a real summarized version of it, but I don't have any friends or family, nobody at all in my life ever who's ever been inside the Christian faith, like at all. So often you hear people saying, you know, you just like absorb the beliefs of your family, you know, and then so you're a Christian, you don't really know why, you're just taking it on blind faith and all of that lot. And for me, it's just not that at all. I mean, I always felt like there was something, you know, this nebulous other thing out there that, you know, felt that, you know, they felt like there must be more than what we can kind of see. But I just had no kind of structure or guidance on that whatsoever, you know. So, I mean, there was probably three people throughout my journey that kind of just planted seeds, and they took forever to grow, you know. But I had a chemistry teacher when I was at high school, and he was a practicing Christian who just kind of let it slip during chemistry. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and we're like, well, how can that even work? You know, you either believe science or religion. So that kind of taught me that actually you can believe in both. You know, you don't have to believe in either or. And then there was a drummer in one of the bands that I was in my early 20s, and he was a proper Christian. You know, he weren't like a nominal, church all the time, but he didn't swear, and he wasn't, he wasn't like into all of the rock star stuff, but he was just so much fun to be around. He was like, this ball of energy. Just, he was insane.
Most drummers are, dude.
I know. It was just the most positive person to be around. And, you know, he kind of showed me that, you know, you can be fun and be a Christian, you know, and that was cool. Yeah. And then, After I came home in my mid-20s, it was like that kind of cliched kind of moment, you know, when like the birth of your child, you know, the miracle of birth. It just floored me. And I wouldn't say that I kind of converted. I didn't convert at that point, but it was like that was one of those moments where I just felt completely insignificant, and this literal miracle had happened in front of me. And I was just took that moment to go and look and start researching and looking into it. And I just kind of asked myself the question, you know, what is truth? Is there truth? Is there anything to any of the religions? You know, is it not, I didn't just go, right, okay, well, I'm a Westerner, so I'm going to look into Christianity. It was like, I spent a lot of time on YouTube looking at various different people, like, you know, Cross Examined and Ravi Zacharias and William Lane Craig and loads of proper apologists, but also ones, it was so long ago now, but I can't remember all the different names, but there was like all the, like, the, you know, Christians versus Islam versus Buddhism, all these different debates going on. I mean, I got proper absorbed in all of these different debates, and obviously atheism, looking at you know, just challenging my assumptions about all of those kind of things. And then it just came after debate after debate after debate that I watched, it just really became apparent to me that Christianity had just had all the made the most logical sense, you know, when it comes to having the best reasons for why there is something rather than nothing, why,
right,
you know, all of those kind of things. So, I mean, having gone through all that and thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to look into Christianity, I'd kind of got all these logical things out of the way. So when you mentioned that, yeah, you did biochemistry, yeah, I have a degree in biochemistry. You know, I don't get much more sciencey than that.
Sure.
One of the modules of that, one of the minors in the degree was evolution. So I was studying degree level evolution. You know, often Christians are just hand waved away by atheists saying, you know, you don't understand evolution. Now I understand evolution. I understand evolution probably significantly better than some of the people who are actually talking about it. But I got to a point, having got all the logical barriers out of the way, you know, I just didn't see how Christianity or any kind of religion could be even a thing. And I had to get all of those out of the way or kind of challenge all of those before I could actually start going down the personal route. And it was like, okay, right, so I think there's something to this Christianity thing. I'm going to go and check that out. And I just made that first decision to go through the doors of the church. Like, I didn't have anybody's hand to hold. I didn't have anybody to introduce me. I just looked around for some churches in the local area. I went to one that a friend of mine, who I used to do some open mic jam night things, playing acoustic guitar in pubs and that. And there happened to be a pastor who did that as well. He plays drums at open mic nights. So I checked out his church, and it was a real traditional place, and it was nice and it was good. But I don't know. I didn't really feel that I was that I didn't feel like that was a place for me. The congregation was all significantly older than I was, and it was all that traditional vibe which I've really been put off with maybe in the past. And then I just kind of looked on the internet like a lot of the times in my whole faith walk thing, I've just literally just gone, right, okay, Google. So I just Googled modern Christian church and see what came up. Now, I'd never heard of like things like Hillsong and Elevation and all of these modern mega church. I'd never heard of it in the UK. Right. I mean, it might be difficult to believe, but in the UK, Christianity is such a tiny, tiny, did nobody around really talks about it.
Really?
Are
there still, are there still quite a few believers, or they just don't talk about it, or how does that work?
It's difficult to know, really, because they don't talk about it. But yeah, there was a survey that I mentioned in one of my videos where the government statistics would do the censuses and stuff. And it was somewhere in the region of about 40% of the UK population tick the census form, say that they're Christians.
Christian.
But when you dig a bit deeper into that and you look at actually the people who go to church, mm-hmm, and you look at, you know, so the Church of England did a survey, and it came back that I haven't got the exact numbers to hand, but it was really shocking. It was like the people who actually go to work to church at least once a month, or, you know, twice a month. It was as low as about 10 years ago. It was about 8% of the UK mm-hmm population, and it had gone down to about 6%. I think the numbers were in about 2018, and then 2020 it was estimated that it was going to be around 4%. So I really consider the people who actually go to church people who are Christians, rather than people who just, you know, kind of ticking a box on a form, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really strange. On our news, it's very different to your news. Obviously, I've seen quite a bit of American news, and it's very much I understand that they do try to appeal maybe to a like a Christian audience. They freely talk about God on the news, you know, the Bible Belt and that big voting bloc. I understand that they want to appeal to that.
Sure.
In the UK, we take separation of church and state really seriously, and mm-hmm, they don't. You know, they take all of that aside. You know, they just don't report it, don't talk about it, because obviously we try and kind of separate all that out. So I know that I'd seen some of the televangelists on the news, but I've never really experienced like mega churches. I've never really known what that was even a thing. So when I did my little Google search for like a modern Christian church, there was this place actually quite close to where I live. Like probably one of the closest churches to me was a a renovated like factory kind of warehouse area that they'd put a big stage in and made it this nice, fresh, modern place. And it looked cool. It didn't have like a church organ. It had a drum kit and, you know, keyboards and guitars and stuff. And I was like, wow, that looks really, really cool. And, you know, having a history of, you know, performing on in bands and doing music. And, you know, I thought that that looked really good. But on a deeper level, I kind of felt like worship for me, one of the things, there's always like an incongruity between the way that people look in a traditional church and, you know, the words that they're singing, you know, when you're praising and you're worshiping. I always imagine that there should be like a lot of passion involved, a lot of like, and the people who are kind of in the churches that I went to growing up, they and I don't want to speak ill of like people inside the church, but they did seem like their hearts weren't really into it. So it just kind of felt maybe hypocritical a little bit. So I really was interested by this vibe that they were putting down at this church, that it's modern and they really want to kind of praise God, Jesus front and center and all of these kind of things. So I went in there and, you know, it was a younger congregation. They had a proper youth team. The worship band was just incredible. Mm. And being inside this place, surrounded by loads of Christians, hearing you know, messages from the pastors, which, you know, were relevant to my life, and, you know, it allowed me to get that subjective experience. That, you know, it was kind of like you have to get out of your own way. You have to, like, have your heart softened to allow the Holy Spirit to do its thing. And, you know, getting into that place, it was at that place where I felt, you know, you could actually start to feel the Spirit moving and working, and, you know, and then have, you know, people who are a lot more further along the way explaining what these experiences are, or what this actually means and how that actually works. And so it allowed me to kind of open up more and more and more. And then the more that I kind of, you know, gave myself into that, you know, started committing to going every week, started committing to being part of the worship band and playing on stage, you know, the more I got involved with it, the more I could feel, you know, deepening in my faith, you know, and it's just come to the point where, yeah, I mean, as I said, it's quite obvious that people who go out evangelizing, it's the Holy Spirit doing the work. It's not, you know, you're not your lovely words that are convincing people. It's, right. You know, you know what I mean? It's not. So I try and remember that on my show. It's like my job isn't to try and convince anybody that Christianity is true. My job is to try and help people get out their own way and right. Just allow the Spirit to do his thing, you know? And there's so many different things that I believed, which was just completely wrong about Christians and the Christian faith. There were so many things that I believed about what happens inside a church was just completely untrue. And there's nobody talking about that in this country. So that's why I wanted to go and do that. And then obviously when you're making a channel, you start thinking about, well, who am I going to aim this at? Who am I going to direct my content towards? So being a metalhead, being in a metal band, it just made sense to try and, like, you know, man down, go back and pick up the guys who I've kind of left behind. Like, you know, you come with me, you know, this stuff makes sense. And, you know, there's joy, and there's a lot of good things if you just want to kind of open your eyes and your heart to the word. So, yeah, I just thought, well, talk about what you know. So I know about heavy metal. So I'm talking about Christian metal. I know about converting to Christianity because I did that. So on the channel, I talk about Christian metal, commentary on anything that's happening during the day, and defense of the faith, or basically reasons to believe. Yeah, that's why I do the three things that I do on there.
Cool, man. That really spells out a lot, because, like, you know, I see everything that you guys are doing as being revolutionary. And we talked a little bit about this off camera, but I really kind of feel like God is bringing his people together at this point. And it's so crazy to see that, you know, you talk about Google and YouTube and the internet, and it's like the world's a much smaller place now, which I think's a good thing. But you know, There's a few things you really touched on there, though, that I really think are pretty cool and, you know, would really maybe be some good rabbit holes to kind of chase down. But one of them is, you know, in a mega church like that, I think they're often misunderstood. Because I don't know about, you know, over in the UK, but it seems like over here, you know, the church we go to here locally, probably about 2,000 or 3,000 people. They've got 4 or 5 services and even a couple satellite campuses. But the Sunday morning is where the narrative starts. But it's almost like during the week, there's small groups, there's other things to plug in, there's Bible studies that happen as well. And it's like, that's where the growth takes place. And, you know, there's been this huge movement lately against, you know, mega churches. And I don't really want to focus too much on that. But at the same time, I think there's a huge misunderstanding about this. And sure, you're going to have Christians, you're going to have people that put the pastor up on this pedestal and they start looking at him and maybe even start kind of quote unquote, you know, creating an idol, so to speak. But I think that's secondary. I don't think that happens as much as people might think. I think it's a catapulting into growth by that sermon on Sundays. Maybe I'm wrong, but I really kind of feel like if you're taking what that dude up there says seriously, number one, you're going to double check him because we're called to do that. I mean, I don't put my soul in the hands of my pastor or other people. I take that very seriously on what I'm living and what I'm walking and want to know for myself, you know, what that is. And then, you know, number two, I think it's about, you know, finding a body of believers and walking that out together. And you don't necessarily do that in that hour that you're worshiping. You know, you find ways to plug in and navigate that somewhere else. And so, you know, just maybe speak to that just a little bit. And then I've got some other things to say about like worship and music and stuff like that. But man, this is a great narrative because, you know, it's so cool to see, you know, 6 hours across the pond, all that other stuff really, 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 you know, makes sense. And that's the other thing I did want to ask you is who is your base? Are they in the UK or do they come from all over? Have you been able to track that down demographic wise?
Yeah. Well, on YouTube, YouTube's really quite clever actually. So for anybody who hasn't got their own channel and doesn't really know how the nuts and the bolts of it work, there's YouTube Studio and mm-hmm. you can go in and you can just like, you know, peek behind the curtain and see what's going on in the background. And you can really get in some granular detail if you want to. And the last time I checked, I haven't checked in a couple of months. But the last time I checked, somewhere in the region of about 20% of my viewers were from the UK. Mm-hmm. And the biggest audience that I have by far are in America. Like 54% of my viewers are in America, I believe it was. And there was 20% in Australia. And the rest of it were just miscellaneous all around. So it is wonderful to be able to you know, have a platform like YouTube. You know, sometimes, you know, the world uses different tools for good and for evil. Obviously, you know, there's debates that people have about, you know, about like handguns, you know, a gun in right. itself is neither good nor bad. You know, it's what's done with it that's the right or wrong thing. And, you know, on YouTube, like all social media, it can be used to destroy lives and it can mm-hmm. be used to bring people together. And I think it's wonderful that I have ready access to this platform to go and speak this message to people. It's incredible. And it's really good for me because being a UK Christian, you like I said, with those statistics I kind of mentioned earlier, you are a minority in the UK. To be a regular church attending, Bible believing Christian, somebody who puts Christ front and center in your life, that is a minority in this country. Mm-hmm. And to be one of those who actually likes heavy metal as well, minority of a minority. So you're saying in a community and plugging into people and stuff like that. The guys at my local church are you know, they are wonderful. They're really, really nice guys, and they're really edifying and uplifting. And but when you want to go out and meet people who have the same kind of, you know, alternative, you know, like alternative music and Christianity, very, very difficult. So to have this this ability to go and create a community virtually, mm-hmm. I mean, crikey, we're all doing everything virtually now, isn't it? You know, so yeah. It's on the one hand, it's a bit weird that you know, the people who I'm like developing real proper friendships with now. I've got one guy in Australia who I'm, you know, I talk to all the time. I've got one guy in America who is really, really, you know, all over the world. But you know, it's really, really great. And our local church, they always say that, you know, Sunday isn't the last day of the week, it's the first day of the week. You know, yep. It's the weekday, Sunday is the first day. And you know, you're going to church, it's setting yourself up so that you can get, you go and you receive or you give or whatever you're doing inside that church, and that's going to set you up for the whole week, and then you go and taking that out into the world. And you know, so it's, yeah, church isn't just an hour on a Sunday. It's, you know, it's something that you want to go and do for the world. So yeah.
Well, and I think another cool thing about, you know, saying that it's the first day of the week, I can't tell you how many times, especially when I started getting serious in my faith and just really wanting to walk it out and desiring to walk it out, you know, I'd love to say 24/7, but I'm still a human, you know, but really, really desiring to walk it out and be, you know, a child of God on it, you know, as my defining moment, who I am. And I really started to find it pretty wild to watch Sunday morning's message or something happen at some point during the week that really, it's like everything else started falling in line for that week. It's like whatever verse or whatever message that was, things would just show up that like, well, this lines right up with what happened this week. And it's almost like you see the Spirit moving in certain directions, and you even get plugged in with other believers that say the same thing or maybe even heard the same thing on some level and just kind of mention it. And you're like, wow, we just talked about that, or, you know, something of that nature. And it happens more often. It really kind of freaks you out at first. And then you kind of get to the point where it's like, it's God, you know, or it's the Holy Spirit. What more can you say? And really, there's this affirming feeling that starts coming with it too, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's what I find incredible as well is actually the other side of that as well. So you'll sit there in this sermon, and you'll be listening to the pastor, and he'll be speaking to you. I'm resonating with that. You know, I'm claiming that, I'm having that. That is, yeah. And then you'll talk to somebody else outside, and you'll go, oh, wasn't that a good message? You know, when he talks about this, this, and this, and I'm really going to, you got that from that? It's incredible that, like, you know, if there's like 100 people in the room, there's 100 messages going out sometimes as well, because, you know, the Spirit's convicting you, or it's pulling those words, and it's obviously allowing people to, you know, kind of apply those to their own lives as well. You know, I really do like the way that works. You know,
I mean, it's nuts. You know, like you're saying, it's like a universal message, you know, love, faith, hope, you know, fruit of the Spirit, but yet it's very unique and very personal too. And I don't think a lot of people quite understand that until they start to walk that out a little bit. And, you know, even from the Christianity perspective, we have to know that as well. We have to know that not every single member of the body is the same. And, you know, one of the best analogies, and I bring it up too much, but one of the best metaphors or analogies I know is that, you know, think of the body of Christ like a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you've got your border pieces, and then you get all your, you know, middle pieces. Well, this piece over here has no idea what this piece of the puzzle means as far as the picture's concerned. And you have to look at them all together as one. And when we start doing that, it's like, wow, you just take a step back and try to see what God's doing. And it's pretty, you know, phenomenal. One of the other things you were talking about, you know, with metal and music and worship and this and that, and you know, there's a song by Matt Redman. I don't know if you know who Matt Redman is, but Heart of Worship. Yep. And he really take he really talks about the fact that, you know, worship, guitars, singing, it was almost like that was starting to become its own idol, just the music and just singing. And he, you know, in that song, he talks about taking a step back and really soaking in that there doesn't have to be any singing. It should be my actions and my words.
I'm coming back to a heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's about you.
Yeah, definitely. And I even maybe see that as being the song for this episode. I'm not, you know, I wasn't really hung up on finding one because that's usually just the talking point or the narrative. But the only other thing I was really thinking about while you were talking there, and we've talked about this a little bit in past episodes too, is that I see genres of music as like languages, you know? And I really kind of see music is like a universal language anyway, because everybody loves music on some level or another. You may not be a huge music fan, but there's something out there you like. And I just see metal as being another language, you know? And I think, I can't remember if it was you and I that talked about, I don't think it was you and I that talked about Korn, but Brian Head Welch, I'm sure you're familiar with Korn. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, Brian Head Welch has talked a lot since he's come to the faith. And one of the things that he said is, like you just said, those were my brothers, you know, everybody in that band and everybody in the metal community are my brothers. And I can speak their language like nobody else. Why would I desert them? Why would I leave them? Because I'm now a Christian. And so, you know, I was really kind of thinking that was another way to catapult into a little discussion here, because, you know, you've probably even walked out a little bit more than me. I was in a band, gosh, high school, college, and then played in the praise band, but then really got married and sort of just dropped music a lot and focused on career and stuff like that. And I'm just really now kind of coming back into the whole music scene a little bit. So, but can you speak to what Brian's talking about there? And what do you think about the whole narratives of music and stuff?
Well, I mean, the Brian Head Welch story is inspirational. I mean, I listened to Korn in the late 90s, early 2000s, big into nu metal. That was the style of music that Korn did. Right. I absolutely loved it. And, you know, I was partying, like, you know, I wasn't quite, you know, into the stuff that he was into. You know, he had a massive meth problem and all these other kind of things. But, you know, I was out with, you know, I was on like a normal human being level of partying, you know, just all of the things that he was doing, I was doing writ small. And, you know, it's just a very, very similar story trajectory, I think, to where he's at. And it's like, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, he who has been forgiven much loves much, and you know, and that you can see that he's just been through, you know, through the absolute worst time, breakup of relationships, drug addictions, loss of like members of his family, and so forth, and yet, you know, he's had this moment of conversion, and whilst, you know, it could have maybe been seen as like, you know, he's going to lose all of his, you know, he's actually come through it, and he's still in Korn now, and he's still doing all these other things, but his life's got a lot more purpose and a lot more meaning, and he's doing all these wonderful things for the kingdom of the Lord. And I think he's, you know, I think he's incredible. And for me, the music, the way that music works, it's one of those things, like, human beings don't need to be taught about kind of logic, and we don't need to be taught about you know, not to kill or not to steal. You know, these universal things are written on everybody's hearts. You know, it says in the Bible, doesn't it? But sure. It's like, it's just there, written on everybody's hearts, because I think those are the kind of things that, you know, reflect the nature of God, and we're made in His image. You know, and when we're talking about in the faith defense stuff that I do, you know, subjective and objective moralities and things like that, we always talk about logic, and we always talk about morality as constant. So no matter when you lived or where you live, these things are always the same. We know you can't kill, steal, and murder. But another one that I think we never really talk about is music. It's like, there is no survival mechanism associated with playing music that I'm aware of. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't, from a scientific point of view, it's it I guess it helps build communities and stuff like that, but it's completely universal. It seems like we are designed to worship by music. Everybody seems to resonate with music in a certain way, and I love the way that in the genres that I listen to, like in Christian metal, it's if you look at the lyrics, it is like reading a sermon in many cases. It's like the music is a message delivery tool. It's just that the way that the word is getting, you know, into people's heads. And I love that. I really do think it's a powerful thing. And, you know, with metal, it is so passionate and it is so, you know, just so powerful that I think that, you know, I think God's, you know, if he had a worship band, I think he'd probably want them to be, you know, given yeah. it the beat.
Big old seraphim angels just rocking, right?
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, I go to, when I was able to play on at church in the worship band, I turned up with my bass the first time and plugged it in. And they're used to these little, I've got a heavy metal bass. It's got five strings. It's got an extra low B. And I plugged it into the into their PA system and just smacked it. And it just went completely shuddered the bowels of the building. It was incredible. And I was trying to leave off it a little bit. I didn't want to hurt anybody. But then someone said, it's like an extra missile that I had in my armory. So we'd be getting, and you'd be really like pumping like the music up really loud, and you could see everyone's getting into high worship. Instead of like playing the music you know, up higher on the guitar, I'd take it onto the low string and just belt out the bass, and you could feel people actually just like wincing. It's brilliant. So it's been nice to bring elements of the rock music scene to the church, and you know, in the kind of opposite way to what I'm trying to do, to bring elements of the church scene to the rock world. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's I never thought I'd be doing this, but the whole song and verse. So I was a metalhead growing up too, but the whole song and verse part of this, and the Lord's been very adamant about speaking my heart about this. It's supposed to cover every single genre. And it's a lot like what you're talking about, trying to just bring unity to it all, you know. And, you know, here I was, let's see, trying to think what else. So we've done a Mastodon song on one episode. You know, we've done some really pretty heavy stuff. And then, like, last week's was Barbara Streisand. And I'm like, wow, how, you know. And but that's what's so cool about the Lord, though, is because, you know, people that walk out those different narratives are all walking towards the same goal. And if we're not looking at Christ and start looking at each other, that's when we get distracted, is when we start looking at each other. If we're walking it all out together and have our eyes on him, we can do just about anything. It's when we get distracted by one another and what we think one another should be doing. Yeah. You know, now if you're walking that out with somebody else and you're in a personal relationship with somebody and you see something that, you know, is detrimental to them or something of that nature, I'm not saying that you can't go to them in love, but just to off the cuff see somebody doing something that you may not agree with, I don't necessarily know that we're called to go to that person and call them out, maybe on a private level. But I see so much of it going on, and you might even be able to speak, you know, from some of this as being a quote unquote outsider for a few years, but there's so much infighting sometimes in Christianity that I'm like, how much of that actually helps and how much of it actually hurts? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I honestly don't know is the answer to that one. I talk to people at the church, and there's, I mean, you'll know how it goes. You know, people gossip without gossiping, because gossiping's bad, but you do that kind of non-gossiping.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of happens. So
this is called just so you know. It's not gossip. It's just so you know.
I'm not gossiping, you know. Oh, Yeah, we have sermons about, you know, gossiping and stuff like that. I've certainly heard them, and you don't tend to see it because we kind of do it on the down low. You know, I mean, it's just like we're just gonna.
Sure.
People definitely do that. I mean, on a larger scale, like there's a lot of videos that I see on YouTube and on the internet. You know, this pastor or that pastor, the worst example of NAR teaching, and all of those kind of videos, and you know, sure, this false teachers exposed and all of that. And I made a decision when I start doing kind of more reaction stuff. So obviously not reacting to music, more like reacting to like stuff that's happening, videos and stuff like that, and just putting my two cents worth in. And I made the decision to kind of not call out fellow Christians, because you know, Christians can, you know, at the end of the day, we all like you say, we're going in the same direction, and we all want to, you know, we all kind of want the same thing. We all basically want to, you know, make the, you know, heaven on earth kind of thing. You know, that's the, we all want the same thing.
Sure.
And you know, and I'm, but there are occasions where I've definitely made videos and I've gone like, you know I don't call out Christians or anything, but I'm gonna, no, just, and I'm really sorry. And but you know, I've definitely done it myself. So hands up. I've, you know, like when Kanye West done his walking on water thing the other day, I made that video about that. And all the way through it, I was kind of trying to do it in a lighthearted way, bringing attention to it, and just saying, I think the underlying message of that one is Kanye's only been in the church for a year, and you know, should he really be teaching? You know, that's a sure, scary thing for me. You know, he's not mature enough potentially to do that.
And there's a difference between calling out question and demonizing too.
Yeah,
and you know, and so I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's okay to say, hey, this might be a cautionary thing. Be a little more speculative about this. Yeah, but I'm talking more about like somebody being like, that dude is a demon. And I've heard it. I've heard other people, you know, call out somebody a demon or whatever. But go ahead.
Yeah, you don't believe like me. So, you know, you're clearly working with the enemy. And it's, I don't think that helps. And I think there's only one person who really knows what's going on in the hearts of, sure, of anybody out there, you know, the man Christ Jesus. I mean, that's literally the, so I think, you know, as believers, we have to kind of, you know, recognize when maybe, like you said at the start, you know, go back to the Bible, read it for yourself, yeah, understand, you know, get convicted yourself, try and really understand it.
Yeah. Anything that goes on in this conversation, even go look, you know, discern for yourself. Don't take two guys talking about their faith. Go and live it on your own too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that just because somebody believes slightly differently about a certain peripheral part of the faith.
Right.
I think we should potentially just say, right, okay, well, as long as they've got, you know, they've got the gospel, they've got the basics, you know, we all believe the same things.
Right.
You know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that's
right,
probably what.
Right. If they're trying to stick a golden calf at the cornerstone of their faith, then yeah, there's a problem. You know.
Yeah, we're gonna have a few words about that one. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Right. You know. So, I don't know. I think it's a. I guess what kind of bothers me sometimes is, it seems like in a lot like we've talked about in this episode, the mega churches are the ones that take the most scrutiny. Yep. And of course their message is out there, you know, and it's like, okay, so, and like you're saying, I don't think there's any point really in naming names sometimes, but let's say for instance, you know, this pastor has preached 400 sermons, right? And I'm sure it's more than 400, but some person comes out and takes a 30-second clip out of those 400 sermons and is like, look, this dude is of the devil. And I'm like, okay, so does that negate all the other thousands and thousands of minutes that he's said whatever? And I'm not even saying that 30 seconds is bad. I'm just saying, like, be discerning about what you see and what you say. And, you know, I talked about, and I can't remember what daily devotional it was, but if you're in a church where somebody says you're going to hell for doing this or doing this or doing this, and listen to me from the pulpit to tell you what to do, you're probably in a place where you might want to reevaluate what you're doing, because we have freedom in Christ, and that is written clearly in the Word. And if there's a man out there telling you what you should be doing and how you should be walking, that's not Christ. That's another man. And so those things that you are and aren't supposed to do should be coming out of that word, and you should be discovering those things for yourself. And it's not to say we can't get guidance and we can't learn from one another, but it comes back to that, you know, accountability, and we're all accountable for this, our own heart and our own soul. You know, unfortunately, Chris didn't come for Todd, you know, Christ did. And so Todd has to know Christ, not, you know, another brother in the faith. You know, it doesn't work like that. We have to know our Savior.
Yeah, Go ahead. That's one of the most wonderful things about Christianity as well, because, you know, it's one of the only ones. It's the only one that isn't works-based, for a start. You know, nothing that you do will ever make you right with God. Nothing.
Right.
That's all. Only putting your faith in Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But the other thing is that it's the only one that says that you can actually have a personal relationship with God. I mean, and that's wonderful. You know, that's absolutely amazing. So many, you know, so many things that we think about in this world where you have like a power dynamic where, you know, somebody who is much more powerful than somebody else, you know, that it's always one of like, you know, kind of almost abuse or something, but except in this one where you've got somebody, the all powerful, almighty, needs absolutely nothing from us, but is choosing to, you know.
Yeah. He stands there right at the door waiting for you to let him in. He's not pushing the door down, you know? And I think that's beautiful too. It's an invitation thing where,
if you walk through the gate, you know, if you walk through the gate, to come down the path to his house, he's going to run in the direction towards you, isn't he? You know, he's going to chase, you know, in that respect. So I think it's all to do with, like, you know, the whole free will thing, you know, love that isn't freely given is no love at all.
Right.
God gives us the choice to, you know, reject him so that we can, you know, freely accept him, you know, and I think that's wonderful. You know, he didn't make us robots. He made us, you know, it made us is such a way that we could actually experience and enjoy true love. And again, it's a wonderful thing, you know, it's really cool.
Well, and there's one other thing that you said that really made me think. When you talked about getting plugged in, and we talked about this free will scenario, but it really works with your faith as well. It's one of those things where if you want to be lukewarm and just, you know, go to church on Sundays and get the message and take that with you, put it in your mind, that's one thing. But if you want to take baby steps towards further, you know, further walking in your faith, creating a YouTube channel, going working at the homeless shelter, you know, having the Bible study with the small group from church, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And it's, I mean, it's like that in a lot of life, but I've noticed that the more I desire him and the more I search for him, the more I start to see him show up. I don't know if there's another way to put that, but do you know where I'm going with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, it's all about the, you know, the fruits of the spirit, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you are somebody who has truly been transformed on the inside, it can't but not show out on the outside. It can't not come out to people. If you are the saying on the outside, yes, I'm a Christian, but in every other way you're exactly, you're indiscernible from the rest of the world, then, you know, I think maybe got a little bit more of a walk to kind of walk on. I mean, obviously everyone's always developing, but I mean, do you know what I mean? I think that you're probably quite where you think you are, you know. And I think
It kind of goes back to the message we were talking about. And like, so you got 4,000 sermons or whatever, and there's 30 seconds off. That's humanity. That's part of who we are anyway. You know, that fruit is developing. That fruit is this and that fruit is that. But you got to pluck that bad fruit every now and then and throw it aside and let, you know, and let it keep happening. Because am I never jealous again? Do I never get riddled with guilt? Do I never, you know, all those little things that go against the flesh, or not the flesh, sorry, those things that go against the spirit, does that mean I'm never any of those again? No, it means I have to, you know, constantly battle against that flesh. And then that mindscape of my mind, that war has to keep, you know, coming back to his word and, you know, replacing it. So didn't mean to cut you off there.
Yeah, no, it's, somebody said, I can't remember, you hear things, you know, you don't really know where you pick them up from, but this is why you need to kind of get plugged into various different, like the church and like little groups. And for me, I'm at work, I'm a rep, I drive around, I've got Christian radio on all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I've actually got the NIV on a CD. So when there isn't something that's speaking to me on the radio, I've got that one. You know, all these different touch points that you've got help to, you know, kind of help you kind of grow mm-hmm. and develop. And I think that's, well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that we need to be doing. I don't know. It's hard. I don't want to speak down on people who, I'm not saying, oh, well, I do all these things, so therefore I'm awful. I'm really, really bad. I don't
sure.
do everything that I want. You know, it's like, you know, kind of Paul said, you know, I don't do the things that I know I should do, and I do things that I know I shouldn't do. And he was like the best apostle that, you know, ever walked the earth, you know. And it's like, if he stumbles, then we do as well. But then you see these pastors on the YouTube or whatever, and they, like you say, they take a 30-second clip out of context, and mm-hmm. then, you know, they're being slammed for that. It's awful. And it's what the like, you know, when the atheists and the atheist discussion groups talk about Christianity, oh, what about this verse? And it's just mm-hmm. literally like one verse completely right. out of context. And then you kind of go, well, okay, well, the first thing that I always do when I get challenged on it, because obviously now I'm online, you get stuff thrown at, well, what about this then, you know? And the first thing I always do is say to them is, right, okay, well, what did it say before that?
Right.
What did the whole of the chapter say? And you often get pulled up by people saying, oh, well, it, you know, you shouldn't have to, like, go back and read the whole, like, whole verse. this what it says in your book, justify that. And, like, in what other sphere of existence would you say,
right.
I've taken, like, two sentences out of your manuscript,
right.
justify that. It's not the way that, you know, context is key. It's everything. Yeah. And
Totally. And once you really start getting into it, you start seeing so much cross-referencing and everything else that actually goes on the word and solidifies certain points. And holy mackerel, I mean, it's like, you know, you have to dive into it. You have to discern and live it for yourself before that light is actually going to just flick on and go really, really bright, you know.
You have to, for me, like, one of the best tips I ever got was to just, you know, kind of pray before you start reading the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, you got to pray to say, like, you know, open my eyes, open my heart, tell me yeah. what it is that, you know, you want me to learn from this, unlock this for me.
Sure.
Because, you know, if you're just trying to get it in your own power, it's not gonna work, you know. And I think as soon as you start intentionally reading it in that fashion, you tend to find I love the way that messages come out in all of these different places, and mm-hmm. it seems like you're constantly being touched and spoken to throughout the day, and it's wonderful.
No, definitely. And you know, you speak on a couple things there that I really kind of look at three defining things of my faith. Number one is prayer. Number two is scripture. And number three is to love God and love people. And which really comes out of scripture anyway, you know, that's, you know, Christ's, you know, most important commandment straight from his lips. And I think if you're doing your best to try to walk those three together, I mean, I don't even think it's a secret. I think it's kind of the keys that we're all kind of given and shown, you know, through his word. But I really want to kind of wrap this up a little bit and know more about Not Your Typical Christian, how people can get involved. You know, you have Facebook group, YouTube community, a Facebook page. What other ways can they get in contact with you? And how does it work? Do you take requests? You know, how does that all work for you personally with your channel? You know, tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, I'm building an empire, taking over the world. How these things
and you got Pinky from Pinky and the Brain with you. You know,
yeah.
You ever see that show?
Yeah, absolutely. What are we doing today? We're taking over the world. It's obviously they've got the YouTube. Everything, if you want to find me, is just NYT Christian, not your typical Christian, all of it. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. They're the channels that I'm on. I really don't like Twitter. I find it to be completely vacuous. It's just a lot of people being very angry and doing foreign. I'm not a fan of Twitter, to be fair. But if you're on Twitter, I'm there, and I would absolutely love it. If somebody's watching this, I'd love it if you come and like message me on there, because frankly, it's. I don't know. It's not a great platform for me, but I'm on Instagram.
The one thing I have found about Twitter, and I will give it this: if there's somebody or something that I've seen that I do want to try to talk to, it seems like they'll answer you. They'll talk back. So if you're selective and try to find what it is you're wanting to look for, but it's very hard to weed through the garbage, to find it. So that would be my only.
That's your tip for success. Awesome.
Right.
I try to make my different channels just a little bit different. So I use Twitter just to basically just put out random thoughts that I have every now and again. I've got Instagram. I take pictures of like my life doing silly things. And I just kind of keep those channels open just so that people can message me, basically. But most of the stuff happens on Facebook. So I started the Not Your Typical Christian group as being a place where people can just come as they are, post videos that they like or memes that they find funny without worrying that people are going to be all judgmental and horrible to them. I've had people like, well, I can post my band's video in here. Yeah, man, get it done. I want to create a hub. I want to create a place for people to be safe and to just get to know each other. And a lot of people are actually really kind of getting involved with that. And again, that's just the Not Your Typical Facebook, Not Your Typical Christian Facebook group. Just search for that, you'll find it. It's just, I'm having a lot of fun with that. The other day I posted a thing that, I posted just a question. What was it? Just about your journey of faith. How did you come to faith? Can you just tell us like how you did that? And was there a light bulb moment? Was it a gradual thing? Have you always been there? And I got so many people. I had like 50 comments. People just piling in, because people love to tell the story of how they came to faith. And then I just got this prodding in the spirit there, just saying, ask them, go on, ask them. I was like, okay, I will. And I posted this thing, just saying, right, okay, a lot of people have posted some stuff in here. Would anybody be interested in just getting out their phone and just filming that and sending it through? And we'll make a show about how people come to faith.
That's awesome. And
I've got 7 people who have said that they would do that. So I'm going to make a show on the YouTube channel, and they're going to have their I'm going to intersplice. So I'm going to get some cool music, just kind of just a bit uplifting music or whatever, and I think that might just help maybe give some people some hope. I think that'd be quite good. So I want to do that kind of thing. I really want to create a community, rather, because when I first started out, I really didn't want it to be the Chris Chris Dolby show. I didn't want it to be just all about me, because it's not about me.
Sure.
I ummed and ahed about even turning the camera on to start with, because firstly, I have no idea what I'm doing with all the technical stuff. Like they say that God, qualifies the called, he doesn't call the qualified. Well, that, I tell you, I am the worst. Technologically rubbish. So, the fact is that it's a minor miracle that I can actually make shows to start with, which is wonderful, But I really ummed and ahed, because I didn't know how comfortable I was making this show just all about, I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted it to be about, community and Christianity and all that lot. So I had the idea a few weeks ago, just to kind of really move into that Facebook group space and create this community that kind of underpins the show. So all the people who dig the show, get to know each other, talk. And through that, I'm getting ideas for content. I take requests for songs to react to. When you're making a YouTube show, one of the hardest things is to come up with content that people care about and will watch. So having a thriving comment section and a Facebook group or some kind of group behind it where people feel that they can reach out to you and talk to you, it's great, because we're developing relationships and we're getting to know people, but selfishly as well, it's good, because that stream of content ideas, okay, I'm struggling with this, all right, okay, well maybe we can make a show about that, and that's definitely a good thing. I respond to every single comment that people put below on the show, because I mean, I think that it really means something when somebody watches a video and, you know, they've got through and I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm digging that. I understand that. Yeah, that's great. Just putting a couple of lines down there, it means a lot. And I think the kind of people who get comments but don't respond to them, I think it's bordering on rude in many respects. But it's more than that. It's like a lost opportunity, you know, to really connect with these people who really like your stuff. So as I say, I respond to all the comments, get heavily involved in the Facebook group. And the next thing that I'm strongly like kind of feeling like might be the next step for us is I've got Twitch, and I'm thinking of doing some live streams. So my wife, she does live streaming, just video games. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of having a video game playing, like something really simple, because I'm rubbish at video games, but like Mario or something, but using it as a kind of like my small group, you know, people come in there and we can talk and, you know, points for praise, points for prayer, that kind of stuff, you know, and just really kind of get chatting, get talking, and just really kind of bring each other up whilst using the platform of just some kind of video game, just to kind of break the ice, have a laugh, that kind of stuff. So I think that's probably maybe for the future, but I don't know. I'm really enjoying growing this this Facebook group at the moment. So see if people are getting value from that. I might just stay with that, but I think streaming might be a good way because there's a big market out there of people who just
sure. You know, no, definitely. You know, there's a couple things you touched on that I think are pretty important. I'm glad you said it too, because turning this camera on and doing this is not easy. It's not something that I really want to do. It's never been my goal or my dream or anything of that nature to even do, you know, what I'm doing. I feel very called to do what I'm doing. And I think it's important, and I think you could probably say the same thing. I get more out of this just in my faith journey and my walk. I mean, it's forcing me to get in the Word, where sometimes I may not be as disciplined to do it as I am, because I've made it an obligation and a priority and a desire to do this. But it wasn't something I wanted to do. It was a calling. And, and I can totally see where pastors are coming from now when they, you know, sometimes when I hear them say stuff like, I'm talking to myself just as much as you guys, it was kind of like, whatever. But no, I get it now. Totally get it. Because if I'm talking about something, and even it, and especially if I'm coming across like a little more brazen and a little more, you know, this is the way it should be, I'm probably talking to myself even harsher than I am the person across the other side of the camera. So,
yeah. That's true. I mean, you do see a lot of stuff about people in the entertainment side of Christianity as well. And it's when you're doing a show, you have it's a struggle, you know, ethically as well as every other way, because you are it's enjoyable. I'm not gonna say oh, it's torture being like, no, I actually really enjoy getting on the camera and making my videos. I've got about 80 videos now. I know there's a great sense of accomplishment and pride that I've done this, but I absolutely know it's not in my strength that this has happened. I know absolutely, and it's not about me.
Yeah.
But so it's a very, very fine line to walk. You know, you've got to be entertaining so people will watch. Mm-hmm. You've got to project your best self, and, you know, you give your personality an extra maybe 10, 15, 20% over what, you know, what you would be in person. But as long as you never lose focus on the why, and you're not, as long as you can say in your heart, I'm not making this about me, and genuinely, I'm not just saying that to say the words to kind of use it as like cover so that I don't get bombs dropped. You know, no, it's like, no, I genuinely say, this isn't about me. I'm making a show to help people overcome the hurdles that I had So doing the faith defense stuff, so I'm making sure to help people answer the questions that I couldn't find the answers to.
Sure.
I'm making commentary so that I can help people see Christians in a human light, because we are humans. We're part of the world, maybe not of it, but we are part, you know, so doing that. And then doing the kind of Christian metal stuff, showing that it's okay to there's method behind the madness, you know, and it's all pointing towards, you know, towards Christianity. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I did make a show about like people saying Christian metal isn't of God, or Christian rap isn't of God.
And I saw that one.
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
See the stats to do the amount of money that people make. Honestly, it would be so, I know how YouTube works. If I wanted to make something all about me, I certainly know what subjects to talk about, how to talk about them. And, you know, and the same in kind of like the music world. If, like, you know, the guys from Skillet who have got £10 million, if they actually was doing secular music, they could be easily have a net worth over £100 million, because that's just that, right. That, yeah. So yeah, they've got like, £10 million would be wonderful to me, but it's not a lot of money considering what it is that they're actually doing. And I think that, you know, we just need to be aware that the doing this for Christ is in of itself its own reward, and that's why we're doing it. That's why we enjoy it.
Definitely.
Wanted to say thank you so much for you know, having me on your show. It's been incredible. It's been really nice. And
this is why
I'm doing the show. You know, it's to meet people like yourself and maybe talk to meet the viewers of your show as well. Hopefully they'll come and hang out with me over my channel, and I'll hopefully be able to send people back your way and build communities and make them stronger. And, you know, this is why we do this kind of thing. So it's been really great to be here.
Definitely. And I think one of the cool avenues is, even though you've got a metal slant to it, just the fact that you're saying not your typical Christian is going to really pull in a lot of people anyway, because I think the word Christian comes with, and we've talked about this quite a bit, but I think the word Christian comes with this connotation of you look this way, you are this way, and you have to be this way. And it's usually a traditional approach. But I think the deeper you get into the faith, and you've even spoke quite a bit about it, the deeper you get in the faith, you find that it's nothing at all like that.
No, absolutely. And it's funny, I worried when I got to the 100 subs and I could give it the custom name, I could actually name the channel at that point. And that was the name that I had, you know, it was just on my heart that sounds like such a great name. I'm going to call it that. And I just thought, actually, are people going to think that I think that, it's me. I'm not your typical, and I'm better than you. I'm not, you know, I'm better than you and all that. And it's not that at all. It's all about finding people who, them, you know, everybody who watches it, everyone's not your typical. There's no one typical Christian. Yeah. It's basically trying to smash that preconception that Christians are they are people. There's none of them are the same. You can't just tar them all with the same brush. We're all not your typical Christians, and you know, we all need to, you know, just need to celebrate that.
No, definitely, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, and we should embrace who we are and embrace who each other are as well. And so this has been great, Chris. Man, that's true. I really appreciate this, and I look forward to becoming a part of the community, because I feel like there's just as much that can be said to me and everybody else. And like I said, I'm planning on pushing a lot of this in my circles. And I think a lot of our circles are already the same. I'm in like Christian Headbangers United and, you know, some of those groups. And that must have been how we ended up on the algorithms together and actually ended up knowing each other somehow. So, but that's really cool how that works too. And that just goes to show that not every bit of technology is evil. The Lord is working just as much. It's a vessel for him just as much as it is for sin. And, you know, it's awesome. So.
Absolutely. No, it's been cool. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Awesome, Chris. So this is Rocking Odd Todd signing out for this episode of the Song of Verse podcast. Love God, love people, and love Pat. You guys take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Song of Verse podcast. Hopefully it was an uplifting, honest, and meaningful experience for you. We do accept donations. If you feel led to give to the Song and Verse ministries, Check out songandverseministries.com/donate for a number of different ways to give back. And also be sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. We hope you tune into the next episode of the Song and Verse podcast. Until then, keep searching for the DNA of God's Word found flowing through song.